Hare Krishna everyone, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Before we start the class, today we will read Srila Prabhupada's quote, 5th June. We say that if Krishna is true, the world is also true, because the world is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. So if Krishna is true, how his energy can be false? The Mayavadi preaches so-called monism, but they always distinguish Brahma and Maya. They say Brahma is true, Maya is false. We say Maya is true, and because it is Krishna's energy. She must be employed in Krishna's service. Letter to Gopal Krishna, June 5th, 1969. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Antaranga Tulasi Mataji to enlighten us on the topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khanda, Chapter 1, 240 and 241 verse. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Thank you so much, Mataji. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. My humble obeisances to all the devotees present with this call. I'm very honored and fortunate to speak on Chaitanya Bhagavat. By the mercy of Mataji, I repeatedly am getting chance to glorify Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and read the descriptions that Vrindavan Das Thakur has written about the pastimes of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So I'm very, very thankful and indebted to all of you for tolerating me repeatedly and giving me this chance to glorify the Lord. So we'll begin by reciting the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Adhyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shadakaya Chakshurandritam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishyam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvatamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shri Vate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vritta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vrindavana Dasapade, Koti Namaskar, Aishya Grantha Kari Tirtho Kaila Samsar. We'll also like to recite some Mangalacharan prayers of Chaitanya Bhagavat, since we are in Madhya Khanda chapter 1. In the beginning of this chapter, Vrindavana Das Thakur, he writes around 7 to 8 verses as Mangalacharan for this book. So, we recite those verses that Vrindavana Das Thakur has composed as in the introductory verses for his work. Ajanu Lampita Pujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtaneka Pitaro Kamalaya Daksha Vishvam Harao Vijavara Yoga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vadara Namaste Kala Satyaya Jagannatha Sthaya Cha Sabhatyaya Samudraya Sakalatraya Te Namaha Jaya 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 Vishwambhar Vijaraj Jaya Vishwambhara Priya Vaishnava Samaj Gaura Chandra Jaya Dharma Setu Mahavir Jaya Sankirtana Maya Sundara Sharir Jaya Nityanandira Bandhavadhana Pran Jaya Gadadhara Adyaitira Premadham जय श्री जगदानंद प्रिया अतिशया जय वक्रेश्वर काशीश्वर हृदया जय जय श्रीवासादि प्रियवर्धना जीव प्रतीकर प्रभु सुभदृष्टिपात् मध्य खंड कथा जनो अमृतेर खंड जे कथा सुनिले बुझे अंतर पाषंड मध्य खंड कथा भाई सुन एक चित्ते संकीर्तन आरंभ होला जनमते I am going to read the translation to the last three verses, which are very sweet. All these verses glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in different ways, in relation to him, in relation to his devotees. Like, oh, all Gurus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a dear friend of Nityananda. So like that, very beautifully, Thakur Vrindavan Das glorifies Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The last three verses are very beautiful and give us a great enthusiasm to dive into the class today. All glories to the Lord of the devotees headed by Srivas. O Lord, please bestow your merciful glance on the living entities. The topics of Madhya Khanda are just like drops of nectar. Atheism will be vanquished from the heart of anyone who hears these narrations. O dear brothers, please hear attentively the topics of Madhya Khanda, wherein the inauguration of the Sankirtan pastimes is described. Being the mercy of Vrindavan Das Thakur, we are going to read today from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khanda, Chapter 1. Before we get to verse 240 on which I am supposed to discuss today, I would like to give a brief intro of chapter Madhya Khanda, Chapter 1. We are in verse number 240. So, what has happened till now? So, Madhya Khanda, Chapter 1. Begins with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returning from Gaya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to offer Shraddha for his father. And there he met Ishwara Puri. He took initiation from Ishwara Puri. And he received the Gopal Mantra. And in the form of a pure Vaishnava, he is returning back to Gauramandala, to Navadvip. And having entered Navadvip, what happens? That is what Madhya Leela chapter 1 begins. So he is appearing like a madman, always chanting the name of Krishna. From his mouth, no other word but Krishna is coming. Either Krishna in a broken way because of his ecstasy, he is not able to complete the word, or he is completely chanting the different names of Krishna. But other than the names of the Lord, nothing else is coming. And like a madman, he's running and falling on the ground and crying and he's entering. And when Gaurahari left Navadvip, all that time he was a great scholar who had his own school and he was expressing a lot of arrogance and pride of his knowledge. It is called the Vidya Leela, Vidya Rasa of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he returned now, when he came back, all of that arrogance and pride that he manifested before was no more. He was so humble and respectful to everyone he saw, especially to the Vaishnavas. And then in the house of Shuklamba Brahmachari, in the banks of Ganga, Sri Gaurahari, he invited all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas of Navadvip, headed by Srivas Thakur, to come together so that he can reveal his mind. And he revealed the incidents, what all happened in Gaya. And hearing this, the Vaishnavas were filled with unlimited joy. They were so happy to here, because this was something that they always wanted to see. Whenever they saw Nimai Pandit as a scholar roaming around in Navadvip, arguing with all the scholars and proving his point, and they would be astonished by his wonderful scholarliness, and they would think that if this boy was a good devotee, how wonderful it would have been. And that dream came true, and they were also happy. They were not ecstatic. They all did kirtan. But Sachi Mata was very disturbed seeing Gauranga Mahaprabhu like this. Her dear son, Vishwambhar, when she saw him in this situation, in a very different way of behavior, she began to pray to Krishna. She prays to the Lord, "Oh Krishna Chandra, myself and Vishnupriya are almost shelterless. We are anath. We have no one to protect us. My elder son Rishurud is gone, taken sannyas. My husband has left the world. Our only solace and our only master is our dear Vishwambhar. And he is also now behaving like this. You only can protect us like this. She is praying to Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So when she is worried like this in her heart, she does a lot of things to make Nimai back to how he was before he went to Gaya. But the Lord is always chanting the holy names of the Lord. So then we see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has students coming and he's teaching them. And before he used to teach them grammar and logic of Sanskrit. And now he's teaching the same thing, but he's teaching them only by chanting the names of the Lord. He's explaining to all the students how Krishna's names and Krishna and love for Krishna is the only essence of all scriptures. And there is nothing, anything is of no value if it is not seen in relation to Krishna. So like this beautiful philosophical teachings, Gaur Hari, he is teaching his students. I also was seen in this Madhulila chapter 1. One day after taking bath, the Ganges, and teaching his students, Lord Sachinandana, he comes back to his house. Sri Mayapur Yoga Peak, even today the beautiful temple is standing there. Beautiful white temple that was built by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura Prabhupada. So that place is known as Shachi Angan. It is the courtyard of Mother Shachi. So in that Shachi Angan, Sri Sachinandan Gaurahari, he comes home and he is sitting in his house. And Vishnupriya Devi has cooked wonderful prasadam, wonderful bhoga, offered it to the Lord. And Shachi Mata is sitting and serving that prasadam to Vishwambhar. And Vishnupriya is sitting in a room and she is watching how the Lord is enjoying her preparations. And at that time, Shachi Mata, she very innocently, she asked the Lord, "Oh, my dear son, how was your day today? What did you learn? What did you teach? Did you quarrel with someone? How was the day?" So when she asks this, then he immediately begins to explain a great amount of philosophy. He begins by explaining how whatever he says that, "Oh my dear mother, please listen. Today I learned and I glorified the names of Krishna. And the names of Krishna are the reservoir of all wonderful qualities. And all the scriptures, they are meant to glorify the Lord. If there's any scripture that doesn't glorify the Lord and his pastimes and his name, then that scripture is not to be heard. Even if Lord Brahma is speaking that scripture, if that scripture doesn't glorify the names and form and pastimes of Krishna, then it is not meant to be heard." He goes on to say that how a chandala is not a chandala if he is chanting the names of the Lord. Whereas a brahmana, if he doesn't utter the name of the Lord, then he is not to be considered a brahmana. So like this, the Lord begins to, you know, bombard his mother with great philosophy. When I was reading this, it was reminding me of how when devotees join newly, you know, when new purpose, they read Prabhupada's books and they're completely fired up and they join. And then they begin to preach. The first few months, they're so fired up. Whatever they heard, they want to share it with everyone. And they just, whomever they meet in their family, somebody asks, "Why have you changed so much?" They begin to, you know, speak of whatever they have heard, whatever they have read, whatever they have heard from Prabhupada's book. So like that here, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is got initiated and just come and he's completely fired up. And whoever in Navadvip would come in front of the Lord would just preach the glories of the holy names of Krishna. And like that, his mother also, he was preaching. And then, Vrindavan Sankar very beautifully, he mentions that Hachidulal, he went into the mood of Kapil Muni. And as we see in Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 3, Kapila Dev is instructing his mother Devahuti. Like that, Sri Gaurachandra is instructing his mother Shachi. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the same Kapila Muni, and Shachi Mata is the same Devahuti. And it's so beautiful how Vrindavana Sabha he draws this. He says that Gaurachandra went into the mood of Kapila, Kapila Bhav, Kapila Muni's Bhav he entered. And this time and again proves how Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Because we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Cham Sakala Kumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So, Shukadev Goswami actually after explaining all the different incarnations of the Lord, he says that all these incarnations are actually a portion, a melody portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna is the source of all these incarnations. And Gaura Hari, Shri Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adiveda, he, in the first few verses itself, he very wonderfully establishes that Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is not different from Shri Krishna. So therefore we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could manifest the mood of all the different incarnations. We have the incarnation of any incarnation, Narasimha, Vamana, Varaha. Narasimhadev's mood was manifested by Shri Gaurahari many times in Navadvipa, especially during his Chandkazi Udhar Leela, when he delivered the Muslim king Chandkazi. And Vamana Avatar, when the Lord's Upanayan ceremony, when Limai as a small boy was going to be offered the Brahmin thread, the Upanayana samskar of Gaurahari happened. When he was dressed in that vesh and offered the Upanayan, it is said that he looked just like Vamana Dev. The same pastime was happening again. So, Vamana Dev, Varaha Dev in Navadvip Dham, in the island called Konadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the form of Varaha Dev to one devotee. As well as we've seen Antarvip itself, when Murari Gupta, they suddenly, in the house of Murari Gupta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he manifested the form and mood of Varaha Dev, and there was a small water pot over there. He put the water pot on his nose as if there is the earth and he's lifting it. So like that, any all incarnations, Gauranga Mahaprabhu has manifested, proving that he's Supreme Lord and all the incarnations are present within him. He's the source of all incarnations. So that beautifully, Vrindavanadas Thakur brings out the point here. And Lochanadas Thakur, he has in many songs of his, like Lochanadas has written a song called Beginning as Avatara Saravatara. Gaura Avatar, the incarnation of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the form of Gauranga, is the essence of all incarnations. His song, Lochanadas Thakur says, in his song, Paramakaruna Pahudui Jana, Nitai Gaura Chandra, Sava Avatara Sara Shiromani. This incarnation, this form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is the essence and the crest jewel of all the incarnations of the Lord. So in this mood of Kapila Muni, the Lord is instructing his dear mother. And exact verses which we find in Srimad Bhagavatam have been spoken by Gauranga Mahaprabhu here in simple Bengali language. He is explaining how the soul which was in the womb of its mother, when it is in the womb of its mother, that time the soul, what is the condition of the soul, how piteous it is, and in that piteous, difficult situation, he is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is repenting for his mistakes and is praying to the Lord that, please may I engage in your devotional service. So this portion, in the past few classes, you have very elaborately heard. It's a very philosophical part, and in Srimad Bhagavatam also is very detailedly explained, and in Chaitanya Bhagavat also, around 100 verses, this has been wonderfully explained by Vrindavanadas Thakur. And then finally, in the end, when the child is born, after praying 7 months, 8 months, the child is very heartfully, very helplessly praying to the Lord and promising the Lord that I will serve you the moment I am in the situation. Then he takes birth. And when the soul takes birth as a child, either he remembers or he forgets. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tells his mother that if the soul forgets his promise, and even after getting enough intelligence and knowledge, he still goes on the path of sense enjoyment, sense gratification, then what does he do? He paves his own way to hell again. Again he goes to hell. Again he has to go through the suffering of being born in the womb again. And again he prays. Again he forgets. So this miserable cycle will continue. Then Gaurasundar concludes that without Krishna Bhakti, without performing Krishna Bhakti, one cannot live or die happily. He quotes a very wonderful verse. He says, Anayesena maranam vina dainyena jivanam anaradhita govinda charanasya katham bhavet. Katham bhavet. How is it possible that one can comfortably, anayasena maranam vina dainyena jivanam, one can live happily and one can die without much difficulty Anaradita Govindasya Charanam. If he doesn't worship the feet of Govinda, if he doesn't worship the lotus feet of Govinda, how can you expect, how is it possible for that person to live or die peacefully? So therefore, my dear Mother Shachi, please perform Krishna Bhajan in association of Vaishnavas. This is the best thing you can do. So his mother asked a very small question, how was your day? And the Lord spoke so much, so beautifully in the mood of Rabin Muni. And then we come to today's verse, where after concluding and after the Lord is telling Mother Shachi that therefore please perform Krishna Bhakti. So he is told what you should perform. You should perform Krishna Bhakti, chant the holy names of the Lord in association of devotees. And what should you not do? He explains in today's verse. Manchi, will you be sharing the screen?
Sharing, Mataji. One second, I shared wrong thing.
ভক্তিহীন কর্মে কোন ফল নাহি পায়, সেই কর্ম ভক্তিহীন পরহিংসা যায়। There is no substantial result in activities that are devoid of devotion to the Lord. Such non-devotional activities simply result in violence to others. So why is the Lord calling these kind of activities that are non-devotional, devoid of devotion, to why is he saying it is violence? It is violence because it kills us. What is the meaning of killing us? It means that it takes us away from our goal of life. The goal of the human birth, as the child prays when he is born, what he promises is, I will be your servant. I will engage in your devotional service, O my dear Lord Shri Krishna. When he forgets that and he engages in non-devotional activities, he is going farther and farther by becoming more and more entangled in his karma. And it is violence because it is killing oneself, it is taking oneself apart from Krishna. And also when we perform an activity, either with whom we are doing that activity, with someone or for someone, then that person also we are entangling them in the karma. And thus taking that person also far away from Krishna. So we are himsa, we are conducting violence to ourselves as well as to the other person who is also being entangled in the karma. Therefore, the Lord calls this as violence. And Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada gives a wonderful word. The performer of pious activities not executed for the pleasure of the Lord does not achieve any result. Activities that are devoid of devotion to the Lord are simply violence. In other words, every activity in which there is an absence of devotional service results in violence. Fruitive activities and mental conditions are both dependent on devotional service, but devotional service is not dependent on fruitive activities, mental speculation or mystic yoga. Rather, it is fully independent and unaffected by anything material. There is no possibility of violence in the execution of devotional service. In other words, no form of violent activities can remain in the devotional service of the servant inclined towards the service of the Lord. Beautiful point Saraswati Thakur mentions that how karma, jnana, yoga, these processes are all dependent on bhakti. Some aspect of bhakti has to be included in karma, jnana, yoga for their success. Whereas bhakti is not dependent on any of these things. Bhakti as a process can solely take you back home to God and can achieve success. But these other processes, they need a tinge of bhakti to give the goal that is desired. And karma, jnana and yoga, all these things are considered to be violence. Because when it is performed with the aim of staying within this material world, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tasyaiva Hetoh Prayateh Kovido தல்லபியதே யத் பிரமதாம் உபரியத தல்லபியதே துக்கவத் அன்யத சுகம் காலேன சர்வத்ர கம்பீர கம்பசா. Narad Muni selling this verse to Vyasadeva. So he says that an intelligent man will work, will endeavor to achieve that thing, that goal, which is not found anywhere within this 14 planetary system. Within this material creation, that which is not found, that is what they should aim for. Because anything within this 14 planetary system, within this material creation, is all useless. If you are wanting it for your own self-gratification. So from Brahma Loka till Patal Loka, anything if you find that this my goal exists within these 14 planetary systems, that means that is useless. That has to be silenced, because that is not going to help you in your aim of getting out of this material world and going after this spiritual world. Therefore, you are entangling yourself more and therefore it's considered violence. And Sarthil Thakur very brilliantly, very sharply, he's quoting around 4-5 verses in this purport. And the verses that he's quoted, they very systematically defeat each of the possible non-devotional process that generally one will take. So for example, first verse one will take karma kanda. So for that he quotes Kapila's instructions to Devaki. Nehayat karma charmaya na viragaya kalpate natrikapa sevayam jevanavi pratohi saha. So dharma or karma, which is not anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered dead, although he is So, dharma, one's duty, karma, religious ritualistic practices, and vairagya, renunciation, all these three, if they are not in alignment with bhakti, if bhakti is not giving them, if you are doing them separately, then these three are useless. It is considered violence. Next quote that he is giving is Sutta Goswami speaking to Shaunaka, the rishis in Bhagavatam. Dharma svanishtita pumsa vishvaksena kathasuya notpadaya vidratim shrama evahi kevinam. So this deals with varnashram dharma. The translation seems to be erased a bit. Anyways, useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So if the varnashram dharma, according to one's ashrama and one's varna dharma, one is allocated one for, if he performs that dharma, but that is not bringing about attraction in the message of the Lord, it is not inducing one to get attraction to hear the glories of the Lord, then that duty is considered as useless labor. That doesn't lead that person to anywhere. So in this varnashram dharma has been defeated if it is not in alignment with devotion. Then Sarvita Thakur gives another quote, which is Narad Muni to Vyasadeva in chapter 5 of Canto 1. Naishkarmyam apyachita bhava vayastam nishohati jnana malam nirujanam kutah puna sashvatavatram ishvare nachartaka karvayarapya karanam. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible Lord, God. What then is the use of fruitive activities which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional of the Lord? So here we find jnana or knowledge of self-realization. So if that is, even though free from all material affinity, this is what the jnana kandis or even the mayavadis they perform, they get knowledge, but they try to free all material aspects of it. Even if it is free from all that, but it does not have the Supreme Lord, it does not have the aspect of service to the Supreme Lord, then it is useless. Na shobhate, it does not look well, it is not right, something is not right, it doesn't look nice. So therefore, even jnana kanda is not accepted if it is devoid of devotion. Then he tells from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna telling Arjuna, Tetam bhukva swarga lokam vishalam chine punye manti lokam vishanti evam dai dharma mano prapanna gada gatam Kama Kama Lahante. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the result of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. So this defeats the aspect of performing pious activities to achieve a place in the heaven. That's also useless because you're going to come back to the little world, come back to the earthly planet, again take birth, again go to heaven if you perform pious activities. You're still roaming in the same cycle and you still go through miseries. Happiness and distress, the dualities of this world is still in it. We have to get out. So therefore, performing pious activities for heavenly pleasure is also useless. It is only going to bind you more and more. Pundaka Upanishad is quoted by Thakur. Plavahyate adhrida yagya rupa ashta dasoktam avaram yesh karma eta shreyo ye abhinandanti bodha jara mrityam te punar evapi yanti. Even the best kind of karmic sacrifices carefully performed with 18 priests are in the unreliable boats for crossing the ocean of material existence. Those deluded souls who take to the materialistic forms of sacrifice, thinking that they lead to the highest spiritual gain, are fools who suffer again and again the miseries of birth, death, age, and disease. Very clear in itself. So this brings up another point that there are two aspects to it. One is karma karmic sacrifice of useless. Even if performed very carefully without making any mistakes. So one aspect is in Kali Yuga, in a circumstance situation of adultery and when everyone is a Shudra and there is so many disadvantages of this age, it is very difficult to perform a sacrifice perfectly. And even if you perform the sacrifice by mistake perfectly also, it is still an unreliable port for crossing the ocean of eternal existence. So therefore, those deluded souls, they have to again get in this middle world, repeatedly take birth. Then one more quote from Mundaka Upanishad. Yat karmino na pravedayanti radha te naturaha kshira lokas chavante. Deep in the darkness of ignorance, these fools think, we have reached the goal. Being attached to karmic religion, they fail to understand the truth. After their piety is exhausted, they fall down to repeated birth and death. It's very similar to what is quoted from Gita by Thakur here. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was preaching in an era where there were so many scholars and Mayavadis who would often quote Upanishads. And therefore, in his works, we find Siddhanta Thakur very beautifully quoting so many Upanishads. And we also find Srila Prabhupada also sometimes he elaborately quotes from so many Upanishads to cater to that section of the people in the society who follow Upanishads and who establish through Upanishads, through the words of Upanishads, that the Lord is impersonal or these different process of karma, jnana are superior. So to cater to that section also, our acharyas have spoken in that language also. So it's very beautiful that they speak to us in all different languages to cater to all different sections of society so that no one is left out. The message can reach everyone in their own language. You read Upanishads and you understand the language of Upanishad. You want to understand that language, here, take it. I don't know Upanishads, I don't know Sanskrit, I'm just a simple person. Then, in Prabhupada's work, for simple, he quotes the simple songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which are in such a simple Bengali language, which any common man can understand. You are a scientist or a rationally thinking person. Prabhupada and Thakur's purports are filled with rational and logical points that defeat the scientific explanations also. So, in the works of our Sampraday Acharyas, we find that they mercifully they are preaching through their works to all different sections of the society. This one point that I remember when I was reading this purport. So, it has been very clearly established how karma, jnana, yoga, vairagya, pious activities, renunciation, all these things, if they are not performed in a devotional attitude, they are completely useless. So therefore, one should not perform all these activities. Rather, one should perform Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name of the Lord in association of devotees. And so this point is being established by Sri Gaur Hari. And it is not so difficult. Actually, if we think properly, these aspects of karma, jnana, yoga, these processes which generally are come out of world today, is more difficult to perform rather than bhakti. In fact, bhakti is most easy to perform because that is the constitutional nature of the soul. We have had, once you come to ISKCON, we hear so many ways of how practical devotee service is. We need not perform an elaborate yajna. We need not give up something too much. We need not change our whole lifestyle. We just include Krishna into the lifestyle. That is it. So bhakti is so easy to perform because that is our constitutional nature. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is establishing here. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagava Shravan Mathura Vashri Nur Dira Shraddhaya Sevan. So these are the five limbs of five main limbs of bhakti that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends. Sadhu Sangha, association of Vaishnavas, Nam Kirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord, Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Shrimad Bhagavatam or transcendental scriptures that glorify the past life of Krishna. Mathuravas, staying in a holy place like Mathura, Navadvip, Puri, or Sri Murthira Shraddhaya Sit, very faithfully, very diligently worshipping his Vigraha. So these are the five main limbs of bhakti. And by performing these five main limbs of bhakti in a regulated way in our life, one can very easily attain this pure devotion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to follow, which he is telling his mother that we should follow. All non-devotional process, all non-devotional activity should be removed. And our activity should be fully devotional. Even when we join ISKCON and when we are in the process of sadhana bhakti, as we are initiated, we are practicing devotees, the bhakti we perform may be mixed or contaminated with material contamination. But our ultimate goal is pure bhakti, is pure devotion. That is, all our activities, whatever we perform in that day, at the end should be with the aim of pleasing the Lord, not even a tinge of pleasure for ourselves. Of course, when the Lord is pleased, the servant's pleasure is innate in that. It is already kept in the pleasure of the Lord. Just as we know, once you water the root of a plant, the whole tree gets nourished. So like that, our ultimate aim is pure devotion, is performing activities for the pleasure of the Lord, taking pleasure in hearing and chanting. The rati, as we saw in this verse, whatever activities we should do, they should ultimately give us taste. It should increase our attachment to hearing and chanting. That is our litmus test. If that doesn't happen, then we should know that what activities we're performing, even though we think it is devotion, it is pure devotion, I am doing bhakti. If our activities are not ultimately leading us to, is not leading to an increase in our taste for chanting and hearing, then somewhere it is wrong. We need to get a reality check and perform very mindfully, perform our activities just for the pleasure of the Lord. And very easy, as I said, these five limbs that Gauranga Mahaprabhu tells, just by performing these five limbs regularly, surely our taste for hearing and chanting will increase. At one point of time, we will always be hearing and chanting. No matter what activity we'll be doing, that will be for the pleasure of the Lord ultimately. And in our mind, we'll always be remembering the Lord, remembering His pastimes. And when we speak to someone, we will naturally speak only Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious topics. We will not speak any mundane topics. So that is actually our natural situation. The soul's constitutional position is like that. It's always used to speaking the glories of the Lord, used to relishing the pastimes of the Lord, used to relishing the form of the Lord. But just because of mental contamination over the past many lifetime, it is being covered. So as we know, as Shukshashram says, Cheto Darpana Marjana, by chanting the holy names, the dust is going to be removed. And then our natural situation will come back. Then we need no more endeavor for it. Naturally, we'll be chanting and dancing and ecstasy. like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he returned back from Gaya, he was naturally, the moment he got initiated, the moment he began to chant the mantra his guru gave in a very pure way, naturally he became a pure devotee and he began to manifest the symptoms of a pure devotee. Proceeding to text 21. In this way, the Lord, in the mode of Kapila, instructed his mother. Upon hearing his words, Shachi merged in ecstasy. For what verses Saraswati Thakur? The word Vilai means she became attached, she became absorbed, she saw, or she mentioned. So Kapilera Bhave Prabhu Mayari Shikhai. Kapilera Bhave, the mood of Kapila. So when I read this word Kapilera Bhave, it reminded me that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to reveal? What was the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime to this world? To reveal Gopi Bhava. That is the most special thing of Gaur Chandra, of Navadvip Chandra. He came to give Gopi Bhava, the mood of the gopis. It is said that we have to worship Krishna. Mahaprabhu came to teach us how to worship Krishna in the mood of the gopis, following the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. So that was Mahaprabhu's mood. But here Mahaprabhu is in Kapila Bhava. So this is, it reminded me of this point which Prabhupada often makes, that people rush, in general the people, they rush to hear the pastimes of Krishna and Krishna gopis, the Rasila. Very interested in hearing that. But here, Sankirtan Chudamani Shri Gaurhari, he is explaining how, to his mother, he is explaining the Jiva Tattva, the soul's condition, and Sambandha, how one should re-establish one's relation with the Lord, how the soul is supposed to see himself in relation with the Lord. This whole teaching that he gave all this time about the jiva in the womb of its mother and its prayer, this is all in relation to sambandha, sambandhatva and jiva tattva. So this is what Mahaprabhu is personally explaining to his mother first. So therefore, Gaurahari wanted his devotees not only know Gopi Bhava, but to be well versed in all this siddhanta, that is jiva tattva, sambandha, abhideya, prayer, three steps are there. So sambandha we should also know. We should know the philosophical aspects before directly diving into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because first we should know where we stand. Where is our consciousness in the preface to Network Devotion? Prabhupada says that this process of devotion, that extended NOD in Network Devotion, is this process of devotion will gradually elevate one from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. So, Nectar of Devotion deals with, we know that in the end it deals with the different rasas we can have with Krishna, the five primary rasas. So, that is what Nectar of Devotion describes. But in the preface, what does Prabhupada say? This process of devotion service, we explained in this book, will gradually elevate one. It's a very gradual process. We cannot directly run into Gopi Bhava. What is Mahaprabhu do? First, he is in the mood of Kapila. He is in Kapila Bhava. He is explaining the philosophy first. First, know who are you. We are a soul who were born in the womb of mother. We prayed like this, and then when we came out, we have broken the promise we made to the Lord, and we are in the middle condition of our life. And in such a situation, you cannot directly run to the mood of gopis or to the pastimes of gopis and Krishna. First, we need to understand these philosophies. We need to understand where do we stand. And then gradually perform devotion. Perform chanting the holy names and hearing about Krishna, hearing about hearing the Bhagavatam. And slowly, gradually, our heart will get purified, the mental contaminations will go. And then we will be brought to a spiritual consciousness. At that time, only one can relish the pastimes of the gopis. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally demonstrating here by teaching his mother these aspects. Who is Sachi Mata? She is not some simple woman who needs to be taught all these things. She is the mother of the Lord himself. She is Devahuti, she is Aditi, she is Yashoda, she is Devati. She is the transcendental associate of the Lord who is coming with him in every pastimes. In all his pastimes, she is there. So she doesn't need to be taught all this. Just as Arjuna need not be taught Gita, he already knew everything. But by teaching these kind of personalities, the Lord is instructing us. And therefore, these instructions that the Lord spoke Shachi Mata, which has been concluded in this verse today, 241, all these instructions are actually meant for us. Actually meant for the devotees and followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in future, who when they lead his pastimes, he shares instructions. Not only the instructions to in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which the Lord gave to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they are not only the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These teachings that the Lord personally showed by his pastimes in Navadvip, when he was the moon of Navadvip, when he was the moon of Mayapur, as Mayapur Chandra, when he performed his pastimes in the nine islands of Navadvipa in his childhood and his youth, in these pastimes he has given us so many lessons. That is the beauty of Chaitanya Bhagavat, of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who has brought these pastimes in a descriptively elaborative way, by which when we read these pastimes, in such a beautiful, such deep descriptions, detailed descriptions in simple Bengali language, which has the beautiful gem-like purport, the lamp-like purports of Saraswati Thakur. So with the help of these things, we can understand these beautiful instructions of the Lord that he has taught us through his example, through his words to his mother, to his associates, the way he is Sankirtan pastime. So by reading all these things, we can get lessons. And we can follow them in our life. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And of course, Bhakti Sangha group itself is having everyday Chaitanya Bhagavat class. So we have Vrindavan Das Thakur's wonderful work, which has the purport of Saraswati Thakur. And we have devotees explaining it to you every day. So by this, we can very, it's a very favorable situation in which we can understand Chaitanya Bhagavat. And take the instructions that Sri Gaur Hari is teaching us. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for a very detailed summary of the chapter and explanation of the two verses. Thank you so much. And the prayers in the beginning you have did was very nice, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, if anybody have any questions, please raise hand. We can go through raise hands.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful session. And I really liked how you covered the context part in a very beautiful manner, like you did today also. So that really helped building up what's coming next and what's going on. So, and very wonderfully, you explained about the different pastimes and, of course, the two verses in detail. So thank you so much. Thank you for your association. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, is there anybody who would like to share their realizations?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for, as Kirtida Mataji already mentioned, covering the context and then completely covering the purport very nicely. Thank you so much for all the hard work you've put in. Hare Krishna.
Hey, if there are no more questions or realizations, we can end the call here. I would like to offer my obeisances to Mataji and all the assembled devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama ananta koti vaishnavrindi ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Her Grace Antaranga Tulasi Mataji ki jai. Thank you everyone once again for joining the call. Oh, Mataji, Antaranga Mataji, are you there? Yeah, Mataji, I don't know if they were not able to unmute. Is there anybody having any questions? Sorry, I don't see the raise hands though, but
Hare Krishna Ji, Antaranga Mataji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you. Thank you. No words to your sincere favor. Please accept our humble obeisances. Behalf of all Bhakti Sangha Vaishnava, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam.
For me.
Yeah, thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Okay. Yeah, if there are no realizations, we can end the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna, closing the call, dear devotees. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, dear devotee, for joining. We are ending the call here. Thank you, Mataji.